All right. Ashley's going to lead us in a few more songs. We'll ask if you'd stand up again, and we'll get the lights back there. Thank you. One of these days here, we'll be getting around for our love offering again. Won't be too long. All right.
Draw near, and my time has come. so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know the saith the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, how Yeah, he said, don't talk all day up there. Oh, good morning, good morning. It is good to see you guys. If you don't know me, my name's Chrisman. I'm the one that took Ashley away from you guys, I think is how I'm known around here. And so this morning, I have the privilege of sharing from God's word, and I just want to pray before we do that. God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we come to you and we look to you today, God. We don't have the answers. We don't have what we need without you. And so this morning, as we take some time out to be in your words to us, God, I pray that you would help our hearts and our minds to be ready to receive what you have for us. We know that when we open up God's word, that you are speaking. So if we don't get anything out of it, God, it's not on you, it's on us. And so I pray that you would give us hearts and minds and attentiveness to be able to hear exactly what you have for us today. God, get me out of the way and speak to us through your word. We invite you to lead us, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather and worship you. And we pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, I do want to just say thank you for allowing us to come back and hang out with you guys. It's always, it feels like home away from home out here in Indian Town, and it's been just great to see everybody so far. I want to give you a quick update on our kids. They're not here right now. They're at Grandma's house, and they are having a blast. And so we have two, Benaiah. You guys may remember Benaiah. He is about to turn 5 years old on June 7th. And he'll be going to kindergarten next year, which blows my mind. It's crazy. So he's been going to VPK this year, and he's learning all the things they learn at VPK, the alphabet, numbers, and he's learning how to have a little more attitude in his life, too. I think that comes with the territory of going to school. So we're learning how to actually parent now, which is good. Asher, our second little guy, who we prayed for a long, long time, decided it's in, if you know this kid, I mean, hang out with him at all in the future, you will know this is so Asher. And he decided just to show up right in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. And he said, all right, let's go. And so July 21st, when the whole world was still kind of waiting for everything to blow over, he was like, hey, here I am. And he was a scheduled C-section, and he came a week early. He's like, no, I'm coming now. And I think God sent us Benaiah to make sure we'd have another one. Because Benaiah is like, by the book, by the rules, and Asher is not. So he's a great kid, but I'm just telling you, he's got that fire inside of him. So we're super excited, and I just wanted to share kind of update on them. And I was thinking today about 11 years ago, coming up on 11 years ago, we came here to work over in the student ministry, and some of the best memories of our lives for those 3.5 years or so. And thank you for allowing us to serve. It's a great place. I learned so much here that is timeless. And I don't know, sometimes when we show up to our church every week, we don't realize that the things that are going on there are timeless, and they go on and on. And so my father-in-law, your pastor, has this phrase that he would say to me that has stuck with me. And he said, Chrisman, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, all that matters is, did you love God and did you love people? And so in my office today, that's because of you. In my office today, there's these two plaques that say, love God, love people. And I added another one. It says, make disciples. But those two are the ones that you really see when you come into my office. And so I just want to honor you and your obedience to God, serving here and just being a man that I look up to and I can just model my life after. So thank you. Try not to get choked up here, right? So today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 is where we are going to spend really all of our time this morning is going to be in Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And I want us to slow down and take a look at what the Israelites were going through, because I think it's really important for every single one of us who are in here today. And the Israelites had their ups, they had their downs, and one thing that they are kind of known for, it's not really a good thing, is they are known for being a forgetful people. How many times did we see the Lord give them instructions and then, whether intentionally or unintentionally, they just decided to forget those instructions, right? And I don't know about you, but I relate to that because I'm one of those people that I don't know why, but my brain is going a mile a minute all the time, just boom, 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 just flying thoughts through my head. And what happens is I end up forgetting things that I really should have remembered. Kind of a silly example of that. Last night we were here in Indiantown. I brought the boys out and we were celebrating Scott's birthday, my brother-in-law. And I had Asher and Benaiah, and Asher's eating formula as well as other things, but the formula is like the big thing he's got to have, right? So we had one can of formula that I brought out here, and I drove home and I did not remember to bring the formula home with me, which led to an immediate trip to CVS Pharmacy to find out that they didn't have the specific kind that he needs. And boy, I just tell you, if you switch those things up, it's a mess, all right? So you got to stick with what they know. And so I was thinking, man, then I went to Publix, and thank God for Publix. They had the exact formula that we need. And that's just a little example of something that's pretty important, but just happens on the daily in our lives. And I think sometimes we forget little things, and other times we forget big things. And today, when I think about our lives and where we're at in our world, I think a lot of us may actually want to forget some things. Like, for example, the last year and 3 or 4 months, I think a lot of us would say, let's just put a big X over that and forget about that, right? Let's just get rid of that. And so I want to challenge that mindset, because I've heard it a lot in myself and in many others, because I think one of the most important things that we can do as the people of God is to slow down, even in the hard seasons, even in the seasons that don't make sense, to slow down and to remember what God has done. And so I think this morning we're going to really learn and glean some nuggets of truth that cannot be replaced from God's word in Joshua chapter 3. So we're going to start reading at Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And I just want to give a tiny, tiny little bit of context. This is the Israelites, God's chosen people. They are his people. A lot of the Old Testament is written specifically about them. And at this moment, they had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Just imagine the last year and a half times 40, right? Wilderness for 40 years. And they had finally come to a point where they were about to enter into the promised land. And they were about to cross over a river into the land that they had really been banking on and the promises of God that they knew were going to happen, but they had to wait 40 years to see it come to fruition. And that is where we pick up. And it's not an easy road after that point. There's wars, there's battles, there's costly obedience that is yet to come. So let's read about it and hear what Joshua has to tell us in chapter 3. Verse 1. If you have your Bible app, I'll just tell you, I'm in the New International Version of the Bible. If you have another version, that's all right. They're all saying the same thing. So, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over." That's the Jordan River. "After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and to follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark, and do not go near it." So something I want to remind us of up front here, and we read through the Bible and sometimes we just forget to remember little things that are actually really big things, and that is that the Ark of the Covenant represents the power and the presence of God. And so when we look at it and we remember that and we reread that and it says, hey, when the Ark of the Covenant moves, follow the Ark of the Covenant. I think for me, as I was preparing this message today, it reminds me of one of the very first things that we must remember. No matter how crazy our life is, no matter how crazy the past has been, for the Israelites, it was 40 years in the wilderness. They had to remember something that we must not forget today, and that is they had to remember to follow the Lord. They had to remember to follow the Lord. And I got to be honest, in our world right now, in America, in our church world even, there's a lot of people that want to lead for the sake of the Lord. But I think it's time that we've gotten back to the basics and realized that you can't lead for the sake of the Lord until you learn how to follow the Lord and follow what he's doing, follow what he's saying, and making sure that everything we say and do as believers is following him. Because what's happened now in our culture, over the past decade or two, there's this thing called social media that has showed up on the scene. It's changed the world. The iPhone's only been around since 2007. Think of how much the world has changed in that short period of time. And now when people say, follow the Lord, they think about giving a little thumbs up, right? On a little click of the button, right? But this following is not a click. This following is not just, let me click that and see what this person has to say. This following takes action on our part. This following is not just clicking a keyboard, but it's bowing our knee to the creator of the universe and rearranging our lives in such a way that when he moves, we move. And when he stays, we stay. And when he says something, we listen to what he has to say. Because the truth is, just like it said here in the scriptures to the Israelites, I don't know if you noticed it, when you look down, it says, give the orders, it said, hey, in verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. I don't know about you, but the older I get, and I'm only 33, I know, so you guys could just laugh at me, but I'm only 33, but the older I get, the more I realize I don't know what I'm doing without the Lord. I mean, it's like, man, I used to look at people my age. I thought they had things figured out. Right now, I realize they didn't. Right? We're all just walking through this saying, we don't know what to do. So we've got to commit and remember to follow the Lord with everything that he's given us. We've got to remember this one. Because if we don't, everything else just kind of drops off. And it is a commitment. In the New Testament, Jesus laid it out to us pretty clearly. In the book of Luke, he was talking to his closest followers, his disciples, and he said these words. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. And so this following is a sacrifice for us. Sometimes I look at it as an interruption to our daily lives. And it's a good interruption. I think sometimes we follow things that we think are good, and we follow things that in and of themselves aren't necessarily bad or evil, but we follow them first, thinking once I get this stuff figured out, then I can follow Jesus with everything I've got. Things like financial security, things like stability, things like all of the things that our world tells us. If you've got this going on, you're going to be okay. And so what we then do is we think, all right, let me do all this stuff. And when I get all these ducks in a row, I will follow Jesus with everything I've got. The only problem is the Bible tells us to seek first his kingdom, and then those things will be added unto you. And so we tend to reverse it in our human minds. And so today, I just want us to remember that we have got to follow Jesus with everything we've got. And when we do that, man, it's powerful. There are blessings that we see that we would never see any other way. And when we follow him, we're reminded of who he is, because I think there's a fear inside of us as humans that, man, if I give God 100%, I'm going to lose who I am. But the truth is, until we give God 100%, we're never going to know who we are. And so I just want to remind us of that, and I want to remind us that if there's a little fear in that, which there is sometimes, that in Psalm 46, it tells us, hey, this God that we're following, he is our refuge. And he is our strength. He is always present in times of trouble. And I don't know about you, but over the last year and a half, I've kind of clinged to verses like that. Because it's crazy. People are crazy. The world's crazy. But you know what? God is the exact same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I want to follow someone who's consistent. I don't know about you, but I want to follow someone that does what they say they do and is who they say they are. And that is the God that the Israelites were remembering to follow. And we must remember to follow. Is he our refuge and strength this morning? Let's continue reading, because there's a ton of stuff we could pull out of this passage. In verse 5, just after they said, follow the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant. In verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I don't want to sound too simplistic here, but the second thing we've got to remember is we've got to remember to consecrate ourselves. We've got to remember to follow the Lord, and we've got to remember to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. I was looking up this word because that's not a word that, like, when I'm hanging out with people, when I go to the grocery store, it's just not a word I use all that often in our common day language. Like, hey, did you consecrate yourself today? People will be like, what are you talking about, right? And so I was thinking, what does this word mean? I did some research on this word, and I'm sure those of us that have grown up in a church like this, we have heard that word. We know a little bit of what it means for sure. But I thought one commentary put it very well. A pastor put it this way. He said, consecrating yourselves is two things. One, it's separating yourself from the common things of this world. And two, it's so that you can focus wholeheartedly on the Lord. And so I started thinking about those two things, because if you and I were sitting at a restaurant or in your living room or in your yard and we were talking and we said, hey, do you want to focus on the Lord? I'm pretty sure the answer would be yes. My answer would be yes. But I wonder about that other one. We say, hey, do you want to remove some of the common things of this world from your life? That one might be a little bit slower of a yes to, right? But they go hand in hand. The Israelites were consecrating themselves because there was something big about to happen. Physically speaking, they had to cross a raging river we're going to read about in a moment. But Joshua knew that the physical barrier wasn't their greatest barrier. And so he said, hey, consecrate yourselves, because yes, there's a physical barrier, but we are facing a spiritual battle. And we, as believers of Jesus today, I must be reminded daily that we are not just facing physical battles. We are facing spiritual battles. And I've got to remember to consecrate myself. It looks different for each of us, because the things of this world that are exciting for one person may not be exciting for another person. So really, it's you and I slowing down enough to say, what are the common things in this world that I am naturally drawn to? And are they taking the place of the Lord in my life in any form or fashion? And we need to remove those common things so that we can focus wholeheartedly on the Lord. It could be a hobby that is a good thing that we've turned into a God thing in our lives. We've idolized it a little bit, right? It could be, I always throw out social media, and I get tired of saying it, to be honest with you. But I get even more tired of seeing everybody hang out and go like this, looking at their phones. I'm like, oh man, when we stop doing that, then I'll stop saying it's a problem, right? But it's clearly a problem. I'm guilty of it, right? Have you ever been at a red light that turns green and the person in front of you is on their phone? I'm just saying. I'm sorry. It's been me before, right? I apologize. But more often than not, it's somebody else, and I get a little agitated, right? Clearly in our world, we are addicted to our devices, and that cannot be if we're going to fully consecrate ourselves to the Lord. So you can insert whatever it is in your life. It could be something totally different than that. It could be a career. It could be whatever. But one thing I know, the greatest prerequisite for following the Lord and for being used by the Lord is simply availability. To make ourselves available. God will use us. He only has broken people to work with. And when we consecrate ourselves, we are making ourselves available to Him spiritually, sometimes even mentally, We're making ourselves available to him to say, God, I want to follow you, so I'm going to remember to follow you. And to do that right, I need to consecrate myself to you, to set aside these things so that I can focus wholeheartedly on who you are. Because the problem is not, are there things to do for Jesus out there? That's not the problem. Jesus said in Luke 10:2, back when that was written, you know what he said? He said, the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there's a lot of work to do for Jesus, but the workers are few. And I think part of the reason is because we get caught up, even back then, people get caught up in the common things, and we forget to focus on the Lord. And the rest of that verse says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would have more workers to go into the harvest field. So if we consecrate ourselves and commit to that, I'm just saying he can use us. He can use us in ways that we could never imagine, just like he did with the Israelites. We're standing here talking about them because he used them. It's a powerful thing. And there's other churches all over the globe right now gathering because he used these broken, forgetful people. It's so powerful to me to think about that. And consecration, I do want to say this. It's not consecration just to sit around. We consecrate ourselves to be used by the Lord. It leads to transformation on the inside, and it leads to action on the outside. Because Joshua said, consecrate yourselves because when? Because tomorrow the Lord is going to do great things among you. He didn't say consecrate yourselves and then just sit around for the rest of your life. He said, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow the Lord is going to do great things among you. And we know what that is. In fact, we're going to read a little bit more about it. We're going to drop down to, in chapter 3, we're going to drop down to verse 14, all right? Because this is a moment that we cannot miss as they cross the Jordan River into the promised land of God. This is what God's word tells us in verse 14. It says, so, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence, representation of the presence of God, went ahead of them. And now the Jordan is at flood stage, right? This is a raging river over its banks at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. And so the people of God crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Hey, that's a miracle right there. For God to stop up a raging river and they cross over on dry ground. But I want us to look at a couple of things here. First of all, they had to follow the Lord. Secondly, they had to consecrate themselves. Thirdly, if you look in these verses, it didn't look easy, right? I'm just going to confess something to you guys. I'm looking for things to like make sense sometimes. So my God, if you want me to get over there, why did you bring me here during flood season? Like that's what my flesh says on the inside. I'm like, there, couldn't you have done it not during harvest when it was like a little bit more of a trickle, right? But sometimes we have to go through things that don't make sense to us to build up our faith in the God who is in charge of the things that don't make sense to us. And so he places them to the river, and I noticed that it said they had to put their feet in the river, right? It didn't say stand there, pray, hope. It said stand there and then put your feet. Take that step. Take that first step. And I just think in my life, would I take that first step? Would I take that step? I think if I remember to follow him and I remember to consecrate myself, that I would. But so often we don't do those things. So when we're reminded of them, it's so that we can take action, right? We also need to be careful sometimes. There's some of us that are action-oriented people naturally, and we just don't follow the Lord, and we don't consecrate ourselves, and we're like, there's a river, let's go, right? And we jump into the river, and it's like, well, that really wasn't what God had lined up for us. And then we create all these messes in life. So that's why the process that they went through is very important for us to apply to our lives as well, because we can just go hopping in stuff that we really don't belong in, if we're honest. I do it sometimes. I'll be truthful with you guys. And then you got to circle back and apologize and all those things, right? But here is not one of those moments. Here is a moment of trusting and walking with the Lord. I want us to continue the very next verse. It's in chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read these verses, and this is really the biggest thing for us to remember. We've talked about following, we've talked about consecrating, but this is what we need to key in on. In chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this: when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing. So they're standing in the middle of the river, still holding up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The river's being held up. They had crossed over the river, and now they're getting sent back in. I don't know about you, but I'd be like, oh, are you sure you want me to go back in there? We made it through once, right? I don't know if I want to go through again. Take up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at a place where you stay tonight. Verse 4 says, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, which tells me it's a pretty big stone, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded, and they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. And at this moment, I think what we've got to remember, which sounds silly, is the faithfulness of God. Because we all, when we look back in our lives, can see plenty of points where God's hand was on us. And I think I am guilty, and I would imagine I'm not the only one in the room that's guilty of this, of plowing through life so fast and always looking for what's next, that sometimes I forget to slow down and remember the faithfulness of God. Because the best way to have faith for the future is to look at God's faithfulness in the past in our lives. And that's exactly the instructions that God gave Joshua to give to the Israelites. Because he wanted them not only to just slow down and remember, he wanted them to have a visible reminder of the faithfulness of God. And today, I want us to take that same challenge. I want to throw out a challenge to myself, and I want to share it with you, that we must slow down not only to remember, but to make visible reminders. That could be writing things down on a list that God's done and sticking it to your fridge. That could be changing passwords on some of the things that you punch in every single day to something about the faithfulness of God. So every day when you log into that computer or when you get on that phone, you're reminded of his faithfulness. That could be whatever it needs to be, but it needs to be something that's visible for you and that you can explain to the generations behind you so that they can remember the faithfulness of God in your life and then in turn look for it in their own lives. And when we start to do that, it makes a massive generational impact on the faith of our families, and not only our immediate families, but the family of God that we've poured into, that they then pour into other people, and they then pour into other people. And it lasts well beyond the years that we have on this earth. So if we remember to do those things to catalog the goodness of God, it makes a powerful and profound difference. If you jump down to verse 19, it really lays it out for us. In chapter 4, verse 19, it says that on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and they camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. So they're crossed into the promised land. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these mean?' tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea." Do you see what Joshua is doing there? He's looking at God's faithfulness in the past. He's saying, hey, this isn't the first time he's parted waters for us. He's doing exactly what we need to be doing, looking in the past. He said, just like he parted the Red Sea, he parted the Jordan River before us. And when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. In verse 24, it says, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord our God. So today, the challenge is simple. The question is, will we do it? Very simple. Are we going to set visible reminders of the faithfulness of God in our lives? To tell our families the things that he has done. So that those symbols, so those things, as verse 24 says so clearly, point to God. Not to us. Not look at what I did, but look at what God did despite me. Look at what God did. I have an illustration that helped me get this that I want to share with you. If you've been wondering what this is the whole time, Roger, I know you have. We're about to get there right now. And so when I look at my life, this is what happens. These little balls just represent the things we probably should not focus on. But often we do, right? Like stress, anxiety, I don't know, worldwide pandemic, right? Just piling on, right? And so when we look at our lives, the cylinder represents our lives. When we look at our lives, it's really easy from a distance to look and see some of those negative things. And we've got them. I really don't want to paint a picture of if you follow Jesus, your life is always going to be good and you'll never face challenges and all that. That's just not true. I wish there was something else I could tell you, but the truth is, we will face trials and tribulations, Jesus said. He said, take heart, because he's overcome the world, but we will face trials while we are in the world. And so instead of focusing on the negative things, I think what we could do is we could recognize this represents the things we should be focusing on, right? The things we should be doing, remembering to follow the Lord, right? To consecrate ourselves. Remembering to be part of a church that teaches God's word. Remembering to be in community with other people. Remembering to share the gospel when it gives us opportunities to do so. And when we do those things, it's funny how all these things that are still there all of a sudden just don't seem as important, right? And we let the common things of our life kind of go to the side. And then we can look back. These are rocks. Represent the rocks that were put down in the Jordan, that were taken out of the Jordan River and put down at the camp in Gilgal. And we can say, you know what, God, 2020 has been a crazy year, but you gave us a kid named Asher who's crazy, and I love him. Look at what you've done, right? We can say, you know what, God, this year's been something, and these past few months have been challenging, but you have strengthened my walk with you through the challenges, right? We could say whatever we want. If we went around this room and shared, I'm just telling you, we'd be piling in here. And at the end of the day, if we do what we're supposed to do and remember to follow the Lord and remember to consecrate ourselves and remember the faithfulness of God in the past, we will take a step back at our lives one day and say, my life is overflowing with the faithfulness of God. And this, not these, it's a lot easier to complain, right? But we're not called to complain.
We're called to pass on to our children and to everybody around us about the faithfulness of God. That is our testimony. That is our story. That is why God's word is written. That is why the Israelite story is in here, so we can remember his faithfulness. And so today, I want to leave us with that challenge. And I want to tell you something that I actually believe this church, Family Worship Center, is pretty good at this. I'll be honest with you. I think you guys are pretty good at this. So instead of maybe this being like a real in-your-face message today, I think it's just a keep doing what you're doing and don't quit when it feels hard. And just follow the Lord, consecrate yourselves, share about his faithfulness over and over and over. And at the end of our lives, we can look back and say, we did what God called us to do. Let me pray for us. I'm going to invite up Pastor Bruce to lead us in the Lord's Supper today. Father, there are so many things in life that we could focus on that are not from you. There are so many things that really do happen, that really are challenging, that really are negative, God. But we are called to be your people. So help us to remember to follow you, to remember to consecrate ourselves to you, and to remember your past faithfulness, because you never change, and we know that you will be faithful today, tomorrow, and forever. We thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. We pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.